Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello.
I've got a bit of a... Hello, David.
And welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys.
It's good to be here.
It's lovely to be here. We're at Expectation, which regulars will know. He's Tim's production company.
TV
offices. He's very busy at the moment.
There's a lot going on.
There's a meeting with Tim.
It's been difficult this week.
Well, yeah, but good news. They've got some big commission.
Yeah, we've got a new...
It turns out from Amazon, I believe. Not a package. Not a package that's coming.
It's the sort of commission that gets delivered next door. That doesn't quite work, but you see what I'm getting at. I'm mixing Amazon... Yeah. TV with Amazon, the parcel delivery.
Yeah. So it doesn't get delivered next door, though. They have commissioned you.
Yes.
It's sort of, I would say, more like a really brilliant package is just arriving from Amazon that's just going to provide money and work for your company for long. That's what's in the box.
Yeah. The weird thing is it's from Amazon, though.
It might not
arrive
for a while.
Amazon sent you an Amazon...
And if you're not here, someone will have to put a thing through your door.
But that is why I've been busy, yeah.
Yeah. So...
But not too busy to do a podcast
of course not.
Really important things.
Well, is it about David Bowie? I mean, obviously, that's a general question about our podcast.
Well...
But I have... No, I'm going to begin.
Oh, go on then,
I'm going to begin.
Yeah, please.
Because this morning... It's often the case when I remember that we're doing a podcast, I think I don't have anything to say on this podcast. I don't know if any listeners ever pick that up. But... I checked my phone. I wasn't even looking for this because sometimes I pathetically put the name David Bowie into Google search, Google News, and there's often some very, very shit half mention of David Bowie that we then talk about for 27 minutes.
Yeah.
But I wasn't doing that. Okay. What I was doing was I happened to notice that Johnny Marr, the guitarist from the Smiths, had got pissed off because Donald Trump is using one of Smith's songs, Please Let Me Get What I Want.
Not Still Ill.
At his rallies. Not when he comes on. I think then he uses...
Sorry, what song did you say? I forgot.
Please Let Me Get What I Want. Which is actually quite a good one for Donald Trump, because I think of Donald Trump as a bawling child.
Yeah, right.
Someone who says very childish things and please let me get what I want is like that. But it's just on the playlist. A bit like Lavender by Ava Hicks is on my playlist.
My daughter's on your playlist.
It's just on the playlist as people are coming in to this horrible arena in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Also, you are a right-wing populist too. So that's in many ways.
So... Anyway, I was seeing that Johnny Marr had responded negatively to this.
Right.
And then I ended up, just by virtue of association, on Morrissey's website, which is called Morrissey Central, which is quite an entertaining site because it often has long whinges by Morrissey about how he feels he's been disregarded and how the world isn't how it should be. And one thing he does now is he just puts on little things that he's sort of thinking about and... I found on page 3, meetings most prized, when the pleasure and privilege was mine, which you'll know is from where there is a light that never goes out, but pressing palms, exuding charms, time's gone, ... by Morrissey, which sounds like something you'd see on essentially anyone's silly website.
Yeah.
But it's a list of people that he's very happy to have met.
I think I know where you're going. Although I don't remember meeting him.
You could try and... Well, I've met him and I'm not on the list.
We know about
that. I've sucked up straight away. Yeah. I am not on the list.
There are
quite a lot of people on the list. There are 52 people
on
the list. I'm not on it. Fair enough. Okay, I'll just let you know. David Bowie is on the list, though they had a spat.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where he is. He's number 6.
Okay.
Just name some of the people you think Morrissey would put above meeting David Bowie.
Well, I'm thinking...
Because some of them are not who you would think.
Is that? I'm not saying I've got the right name, but is it sort of something like Alan Bennett? Is it?
Yeah.
Well, is he in there?
Not Alan Bennett, but it's that kind of thing. I mean, one of them is very that kind of thing. The person number 4 is really that kind of thing. But number 1 is peculiarly a bit like David Bowie in... Morrissey world. Well, in the real world. But he's also someone who Morrissey would like.
Living.
No, dead.
Well, you wouldn't have met Mark Boland.
Well, Mark Boland is at number 40.
Is
number,
he?
Yeah.
When would he have met him?
It's a good question. But he's a, Mark Boland is the last person on the list. Number 51 is Melvin Bragg. And number 52 is Mark Boland.
I surely didn't meet him. He would have been...
Well, I think Morrissey briefly was a music journalist.
Oh, okay. Maybe, so, yeah, maybe.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Did he just write a letter to the NME?
I don't remember the music journalist.
I mean, he's definitely old enough to have met Mark Boland when he was young.
But he would have been like 10 or something.
Yeah, that feels a bit odd.
Did he say it?
No. It's literally a list of people he's met in order of hallowedness. Right. Morrissey hallowedness.
I can't think of the person. Oh, do you mean someone like... Are you talking about someone slightly androgynous?
I'm talking about someone who was very important. I mean, here's a clue. He's very important to David Bowie, but also...
Brian Eno?
No. Very important in...
Mick Ronson?
But think about who would be important to David
Lindsay
Bowie.
Lindsay Kemp?
Very close. Very close, but also Morrissey.
Right.
Morrissey in his, oh yes, that person... Rita Tushingham, she's so important to me. Oh. She's on the list, by the way.
Okay, right.
But also important to David Bowie.
Oh, God, why am I not getting this? It's not Tony Visconti.
You nearly got it. I thought you'd got it.
Oh, Tony DeFries?
No, come on!
Tony the brother? Our brother.
Tony the brother would be amazing.
Tony Hart?
Tony Newley.
Tony Newley? Okay, well, I wasn't getting close to that. Okay,
how can
right.
you not get close to it?
I mean...
You were at Tony, and we were talking about... early influences like Lindsay Kemp on
yeah
David
I suppose
Bowie.
I was thinking someone he hung out with, which is different.
Number
yeah.
one is Anthony Newley, and the whole list is has got a picture of Joan Collins and Anthony
amazing.
Newley at the top of it.
Amazing.
So that's it. Good. So number two is a bit of a curveball. Richard Attenborough.
That's amazing.
That seems like... I mean, I've met Richard Attenborough because he was president of Chelsea Football
but it's not even David Attenborough.
No, it's not even David Attenborough. I know. I mean, important man, you know, directed Gandhi and was in Brighton. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Played
Brighton
Pinky.
Rock.
No, he didn't direct it. Did he? He was Pinky in Brighton Rock.
And he was in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. But still, I don't think I'd have got that in 1,000 years.
Third man, was he?
He's actually the second man in this. Yeah. The third man is, again, very David Bowie adjacent. It's Lou Reed.
Okay.
But number four, for me, is the most brilliant person to put above David Bowie at six. I don't know if you'll get it.
Give me a clue.
Okay. He had a handlebar moustache.
Wilf Lund.
Who's that?
Wasn't he the mad scientist on BBC? Was he on Vision On or was he on...
Wilf Lund.
I've got to look him up. When I show you a picture, and listeners at home... We've got this technology now where you can do this in real time. You can pick up your phones and Google this at the same time as me.
Oh, well, I can do
that. That's new. Oh, right. That's a new feature of the show.
Okay, all right. I mean, it's not Wilf Lund.
It's a good name, though, isn't it?
It's someone else with
a... There he is. You will absolutely know who Wilf Lund is. Do you remember him?
Yeah, vaguely.
The science sort of
scientist, yeah. Remember, you're more 80s than me. I'm more 70s.
He was on Vision On. I feel really good about
this. He was on Vision On, wow.
He was a British inventor, prop maker, and he did mad inventions. And
no, see, I think of, what was his name? Magnus Pike.
Very similar. Yeah,
that's who I think of as that person.
This roll call, now we're doing lists, shows that Wilf Lund appeared on.
Yeah.
Magpie, Vision On, Jigsaw, Ask Aspel, Jim will fix it.
Game
for a Laugh.
Yeah.
The word. 3, 2, 1, Fun Factory, Rolf on Saturday. That is a 70.
That's fantastic. By the way, can we just park my The Word story? I mean, we could park it or I could just tell you it.
You tell it, yeah.
So I'm on The Word with Rob Newman in about 1993, 2. Being interviewed by Terry Christian.
Yep.
As ever, with interviews with Rob Newman, especially on live tele, didn't go that well.
Okay.
There's always like tension.
A bit awkward.
There,
I can't remember. It's a bit awkward.
Kind of awkward. Terry Christian was like... but anyway, it was, you know, exciting enough to be on The Word. But mainly, I was in my dressing room and I thought, oh, I need to go to the loo in wherever The Word was filmed. You probably know. Teddington or
something. Was it Teddington? Yeah, I can't remember.
And I went out of my dressing room and I wandered about and I went through a door and I thought, where is the toilet? And I opened a door looking for the toilet.
Right.
And behind the door was Kurt Cobain.
Wow.
Yeah. And the whole of Nirvana. And I said, oh, sorry, I'm just looking for the toilet. And I think he said, yeah, I think it's down the corridor. And
that is incredible.
And that was the show that he quite famously said, this song, which I think was Smells Like Teen Spirit, they're about to play. This song is for Courtney Love from Hole, who's the best fuck in the world. Yeah. It's that show.
Yeah. Maybe the first appearance.
Yeah, because I didn't really know who they were when I wasn't like, oh my god, it's Kurt Cobain, because it was before Nirvana were really that famous.
You know who booked them famously?
You?
No, that wouldn't be that famous.
No.
Joe Wiley.
Oh really?
She was the booker on The Word. Okay. Maybe she booked you.
She might have done.
Do you think? Because I know Courtney Love, I met her a few times, but it's sort of like, you know, doesn't maybe play by the same rules as, let's say, I do.
Yeah.
But saying the best fuck, is that like, that seems a bit like, really, do you have to say that?
Yeah, well, it was the 90s, right? So it was considerably more sexist time than now. Yeah. And I think probably at the time it was seen as kind of punk by Courtney. I've got a vague feeling as well that when Hole themselves played, that not her but someone else, maybe the bass player, took their trousers and pants down on The Word.
No, I think,
was that someone else?
I believe that was Lush.
Oh, really?
Because I used to do...
No, it's very unlikely to be Lush. Mickey Berenyi of Lush, who I speak to occasionally on Twitter, that would never have been...
Was it Lush or LA7? Is that a band, LA7?
It might have been LA7. It was definitely not Lush. Lush were kind of, what were they called? Shoegazers. Yeah, and they weren't like crazy...
No, I get... Hang on. There's something about... Because I used to do those...
It was someone grungy.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that nowadays, I don't think Kurt Cobain would particularly be applauded for saying that. A lady.
No, I don't think it's how you should introduce your partner.
Anyway, handlebar moustache. I'm going to have to give you another clue. Yeah, he's an actor and a singer.
Okay, wait a minute.
Mainly from the 1960s. I believe he may have been Adam Adamant. I'm not sure. But he was in a show like that. He was a sort of like comedy smooth sex man.
I literally can't...
I mean, you may not know his name, I suppose. Okay, it's possible. I'm just going to have to tell you, aren't I?
Yeah.
So two above Bowie
in
Morris's list of people he's so excited to have met is Peter Wingard.
I don't know that person.
Can you Google Peter Wingard?
I don't know that person.
He's an extraordinary looking fellow. I mean, when I've met Morrissey, which I've done a couple of times, he's sort of hilariously Morrissey-like.
Yes.
And one of the things he will do is say, oh, the most wonderful person that I've realised now is, and then he'll mention someone incredibly obscure.
Yeah, right.
And he'll say, they're the funniest person ever. And it turns out to be like a music hall sort of fat woman from 1952.
Yes. Did you say Peter Lingard?
No, Wingard, W-Y-N-G-A-R-D-E.
Peter Lingard is a lawyer.
Not
from
Lingard.
New Hampton.
No. I don't think Peter Wingard is... almost definitely it's a stage name, because it sounds vaguely glamorous, Wingard. And I imagine his real name...
Oh, him. I don't recognise him at all.
What is his real name? He's definitely not Peter Wingard.
He died not that long ago.
Yeah.
And he died aged 90. He was in Department S.
Oh, yes, that's not like,
a band.
Not a band. Yeah. No, that was a show. He was not in Adam Adamant, we'll see. I've got that wrong. That was Gerald Harper, who used to be with Sarah Alexander, even when Gerald Harper was like 80 and Sarah Alexander was like 22.
He sounds a bit rubbish. So Peter Wingard, Bob Stanley, who's an author and member of Sanskrit.
Yeah, I know who Bob Stanley is.
He was very funny, and this is a quote from him that makes him Bob, who seems very good, Bob. He said, my favourite Peter Wingard line to a friend of mine over dinner, I'm 50% vegetarian, 100% bisexual. I mean...
I think I can hear Morrissey liking that.
Yeah. No, maybe.
So David turns up at number six. And then there's some quite ordinary, some people that you might think are all right. Nico, Tom Jones, Marianne Faithfull.
Yeah,
then
at
number 10 is someone I've never heard of called Richard Davalos. Which Davalos is what you occasionally call me, isn't it?
I call you Davidos.
Davidos. But Richard Davalos is... I don't know what Richard Davalos is. And then it's Richard Davalos, Eve Arden, Dick Gregory, Joan Collins. Number 14, Cliff Richard.
Yeah, no, but it's very Morrissey already.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is. It's entirely Morrissey.
He could read that list to a Johnny Marr.
Okay, so the most Morrissey person, I would say the most Morrissey person is at number 17.
Right. Johnny Morris.
Good. It's a really good guess. It is, of course, Pat Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Why isn't she number one?
You'd think she should really be number one. Mick Ronson, number 18. See, it veers in between ultra Morrissey people, yes, like Pat Phoenix and Tony Newley or whatever, and Cliff Richard, and then it's Mick Ronson and Iggy Pop. Then, rather weirdly, at number 20, Martin Sheen, who's neither.
Yeah, although he's...
No, he's neither sort of Bowie-ish or and Mick Ronson-ish, nor is he someone who's in Coronation Street.
But I think we need to take a second. I think you should start compiling your list.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Alan Bennett is in it. Number 30. Yeah, Alan Bennett's in it. Slightly upsettingly from my point of view, number 32, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, that's problematic. But
and then Elaine Stritch.
Yeah. Elaine Stritch, I feel, is quite Morrissey.
Yeah, no, very Morrissey.
I don't really know what Elaine Stritch did, but she was always on...
She was always on telly.
Always on telly on...
Wasn't she in Never the Twain?
I don't know what
she was in a sitcom. Again, this is because I'm slightly younger than you. She was in a sitcom with... Oh, God, who was that bloke in it? Ain't Half Hot Mum?
Windsor Davis?
Yes. Windsor Davis?
He's the Come on, you horrible lot.
Yes.
He
said, no, it wasn't him. Fuck this.
Don Estelle? No.
No, it wasn't Don Estelle. Let's move on.
I mean, by the way, it is amazing that Don Estelle and Windsor Davis had a big hit record with Whispering Grass.
I know it is.
That is amazing.
We should maybe play it.
That is amazing because there is no equivalent of that.
No, well, the novelty song.
Yeah.
Well, I say it's gone. I say it's gone, but of course, the last six Christmas number ones, and not the last one, but the last four, were all those sausage roll people.
Oh, exactly.
And so those are kind of novelty songs, aren't they?
It is. It's amazing. Whispering Grass, Windsor Davies, Don Estelle.
Yeah.
I know. I sort of knew it was real.
You promised me green grass.
That's right.
Not to tell what you were. Whispering Grass, say.
I seem to remember Don Estelle had a lovely voice.
Didn't he do a high bit? Yeah. Was that Lauren Hardy?
No.
Sing lofty.
Here we go.
Why do you whisper? Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
God, that's amazing. It's almost like a David Lynch type.
It's a beautiful voice. I seem to remember even at the time thinking, because they were incredibly successful in AR Hot Mom, it was a thing in like 1980s, everyone watched it even though it was racist, that basically Don Estelle clearly has got like a beautiful voice, was probably in musicals before this, and this is an opportunity for him to shine.
The thing about, the issue with novelty records always, and that is between the two, because as you say, his beautiful singing voice, and maybe that's partly why people bought it. It's actually lovely.
Well, yeah, but also I think when Don and Windsor, or Don maybe thought, oh, I'm famous because I'm on a Hot Mum, I'd like to release a record to show that I can sing. And then the record company said, doesn't really work unless we can get Windsor, the sergeant bloke as well, doing some comedy Welsh sort of cross with you stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's what people like. And Don was possibly always a bit sad about that in my mind. You know, I'd just like to show people I can sing.
Do you think at home, he's probably dead. But,
yeah, I think he probably is.
Do you think at home he's got, like, the engineer as a favour did him a version with just his voice on it? I reckon that's he's got that at home.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And we'll cut out the silly bit with
people
Windsor
come
David
round and say,
go on, Boyle, show him what you can do, all that rubbish.
People come round and say, oh, well, you've got the single. He says, I'll play it to you. And then it's just him and they don't know what to say.
By the way, I've done two accents on this podcast. I never do accents. What's happening to me?
You just did Windsor Davies.
Earlier I did a kind of Northern Morrissey voice.
So you did, yeah.
I mean, it was.
I tried before with your accents. They're actually better than you.
No, they're terrible. But I just did them. It's progress, I think, psychological progress.
Yeah, so I think you feel it very freeing being on this podcast.
It's you. I just feel free with you.
But don't you think the problem with novelty songs
is
it's completely... In fact, I'll demonstrate it to you.
I'm just going
to
tell you the end.
Of what? Oh, the list. Yeah. Well, I assume we would come back to it like a motif.
Well, yeah, we could come back to a motif, but I'll tell you then, because it's quite funny that it goes incredibly Morrissey-ish for the last... For some reason, it's 52 people.
Yeah.
And it says Dora Bryan. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Again, very, very northern actress person. Joan Sims. Yeah. Melvin Bragg. All these people. And then 52, Mark Boland.
I don't understand, how he would have met...
Oh, there's a little video of Joel Fabiani and Peter Wingard in Department S at the end of it.
Right.
I mean, it's really, in a way, like a fan site.
Yeah.
At some level.
Just completing the circle on Whispering Grass.
Yeah.
This is the issue with novelty songs. I've always felt, and it's this. You think, I enjoyed that. And then you put it on again.
You promised me green grass, not to tell what you were.
So already, hearing him do it again,
the
sort of jokey thing, I don't really want to hear it again.
No.
The third time, fourth time, I do want to hear Don, which is why he had his own copy made, as you know, by the engineer. But there is a limit to the novelty song, and maybe in the end...
Well, I'm afraid that's true of comedy, although obviously in the old days people did buy comedy records.
Yeah.
And big deal was comedy records, and did listen to them over and over again. But obviously, Yeah, a joke will not necessarily make you laugh over and over again, whereas you can listen to a piece of music.
I think we should do a novelty record.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
And I think...
What would it be?
Well, I don't think it should be Bowie-like.
You sure?
Well, I don't know, actually, because that's our brand.
That's our brand. Yeah. What would it be if it wasn't that? If it wasn't...
Okay, well, what would it be if it was that?
Yeah, that's also a good question. Yeah. It is our brand, but I can't, from a standing start, think of a Bowie-style novelty song that we would do.
Well, you could do the thing where... I don't know if it's a thing or not, but one thing to play with is, like, he came down from space and visited us. You do a sort of Starman pastiche.
Yeah, but Flight of the Conchords have done that already.
Oh, have they? Okay, yeah. So they have.
Bowie in space.
Oh, yes, okay. So maybe... So let's not do Bowie.
Okay, so we're definitely not doing
Well,
Bowie,
no,
yeah.
It's hard.
I'm just wondering if there's another way of doing Bowie, you see.
Space is so the obvious one.
I'll tell you what we could do. We're always going on this show about how we don't like all the clichés about David Bowie. We don't like people saying, oh, yes, he was such a revolutionary artist. He was so genuine. Yeah. He was like a spaceman from outer space. And we could do a thing where we compile all those clichés and somehow comically reject them in our novelty song about David Bowie.
That's quite niche. But
and this podcast isn't.
Yes, no, that's a good point. Because it is.
Yeah.
So you go,
I have a feeling that this song, should we ever do it, will only be released on this podcast.
That's a start, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you mean you go like...
I don't really know what you can sing, right? You
What's
can
the
sing.
Joke?
No, here's... Yeah. Is it, well, look, novelty songs weren't really funny anyway.
No, that's
But
true.
I think you should be David Bowie.
Right.
And from the grave, what you're doing, we'll write the lyrics together, and I'll probably write the music, I think. I should write the music.
I don't know.
There's Uncle...
I'll do the chorus.
Yeah, I don't know if you know, I've had four number ones. But...
Well, I thought you were looking fresh-faced.
Brilliant.
That's... don't edit that. Have this. You've just said it.
Yeah.
Is that why you were late? That's...
No, I preferred fresh-faced.
Okay.
I think that's funny. That was funny. That's why you were late. No. But anyway, I think that it should be one of us, you've got the better voice, being David Bowie, as it were, speaking from beyond the grave.
Grass.
No, not doing Whispering Grass.
Oh, okay.
Speaking from beyond the grave, refuting all these things about him.
Okay, hold that, because if you take the Whispering Grass theory of novelty records, we could take a nice Bowie song.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, we're actually... Well, you mean we're actually going to take a song and redo the lyrics? As you know, that's problematic in terms of publishing and copyright.
What they do is they sing the actual song.
Yeah, they're actually singing...
But I or you would do the Davis. So we'd have a funny thing like, don't call me David or something,
right.
And then I'd be singing... Starman, and then you'd be...
I'll be saying...
I don't know what your thing would be.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll work, but you're suggesting that I would be David saying, I'm not all these things that you continually...
Okay, the joke is, because we want this
It's
to
not
be...
sounding that great,
no, I've
the
got,
joke
I,
at the
I tell you what we should play with is we're going to a very big audience with this, right?
Okay.
So I think the joke is that I'm saying... David Bowie is the space, he's all these exotic things. Yeah. And you're David Bowie and you're saying, I just want a cup of tea.
Like Morrissey.
I do like peas, like John Major. Yeah. You're boring.
I don't know if you need to do it in that camp way. Just because earlier on I did an impression of Morrissey that was a bit northern camp. That's not really David.
Try again.
Well, the Morrissey impression.
Yeah, what was your Morrissey one?
Morrissey one was, I loved meeting... Now it's gone camper than I want it to be now. I have to do it just spontaneously. Yeah, I can't do it self-consciously. Yeah. But with David, I think, you have to find a way of saying, I can't do it. I just want a cup of tea.
And I go, and he drove a spaceship. And you go, it's a Morris Minor. Oh, no, I'm doing Morrissey now. It's a Morris Minor. Or whatever, a boring car would be. It's a Nissan Micra. No, hang on, who's that?
I don't know who that is. I mean, neither of us can do a David Bowie.
No.
You are slightly better at doing the singing impression, but neither of us can do a speaking impression.
A drive a Nissan Micra.
Right. So then now you are singing it, even though you said...
Yeah, that's slightly
It's a speaking, a spoken voice, a bit like Whispering Grass, a spoken voice over a song, novelty song.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly. So that's one way we could go.
By the way, the novelty song of Whispering Grass was very based on the video.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Which, as far as I remember, had Don Estelle, you may have to check this out, an old like BBC microphone.
Yes,
like,
definitely.
Like, big old BBC microphone, singing with a pith helmet on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing that I've got this in my head.
Yeah, no,
and behind him, Windsor Davis, as the Sergeant Major, is just sort of making faces and mugging and leaning over him and saying, go for it, boyo, and stuff like that.
Yes. I'm basically a member in the Top of the Pot studio.
There's an actual video.
Yeah.
And I think that was the key to it, in the way that I'm not sure our song, what's it called, our song?
Well, I was trying
to think. Is it called Starman question mark?
I was trying to think if there's a song that you could play with. Because I almost had Hunky Boring, but that doesn't work.
Brilliant.
And also, it's an album, so it doesn't work. Well, it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah.
But you could have a thing that makes Bowie feel...
Man
Who Was Down to Earth.
Right.
That doesn't work.
Right, the man... Yeah, well, it's all right. Yeah, it doesn't really work.
No.
Yeah. What other songs by David Bowie suggest sort of things that are incredible?
Well, yeah.
We can't think of any.
No. No. But I think we've got enough to maybe release it on the next podcast.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Let's make that our challenge.
Okay. You know, we never do any kind of work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So we would have to meet and do some work.
Yeah, we could write some lyrics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, not write. You keep on changing.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You're suggesting that we do, say, Starman, or, I don't know. Yeah, Starman's probably the right one.
Yeah.
And then we say, no, what I drive... The trouble is that there's nothing about cars in Starman. So, no,
what about,
I drive a Nissan Micra.
This doesn't quite work, but it's the sort of example that... Which we do changes, and then somehow I go like, and he lived in space, and he says, "No, I lived in Chingford," like you know, one of those.
That's brilliant.
Or Chichester, So it's, I mean, it's not quite that.
That's. I mean,
I don't know how you did three lines because I've given a lot.
No, you've written it basically. That's because I'm not sure I'm as down with it as you are. It's the whole novelty song idea. I mean, that particular idea, I seem to remember once. And I'm sorry if there are any Only Fools and Horses fans listening.
There will be.
But when I was on the Mary Whitehouse Experience, he once did a parody of Only Fools and Horses, in which the basic joke was always someone saying something rather sophisticated and then someone else saying Peckham.
Every single joke
is essentially, oh, I want to go to somewhere where there's lovely sunsets. Oh, no, they would be Cockney, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Lovely sunsets and blah, blah, blah. What, you mean Peckham? Like, that was essentially...
And that's
what you're saying.
Chingford.
It's like, it's bathos. That's what you're basing this entire thing on.
Yeah, which...
Bowie bathos, we could possibly call it.
That's a really bad idea.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I say, it's not going to be heard by anyone outside this podcast.
No. Okay. All right. Bowie Bathos. The worst title song I've ever heard.
David Bathos.
Can you imagine someone saying, I've learned the chords to Bowie Bathos.
We could call it David Bathos and we could get Richie Davalos to sing it.
Wow.
Okay, well, there's that. We've got that. Have you brought anything else?
I just found a thing which I just thought was interesting, and it is about Bowie, actually. Well, I wondered if we should share with the listener two conversations, actually, we've been having recently.
Yeah. Is it one about soup or one about cliffs?
Oh, I've forgotten about soup. I was going to talk to you about the fact that I suggested, and I don't think it got what it deserved in terms of... David Soul sadly passed away.
Yes.
And
We did discuss this, on the podcast.
Well, I put a question which was that I think it actually might be the only example of someone who had a hit in the genre that their surname represented.
Yeah.
And I think we proved that that is true, unless anyone else has got one. No one else has done that.
No, no one else is. Well, Ziggy Pop.
You mentioned Iggy Pop, and then but he's not pop.
He's not pop.
But David Soul was soul, I'd say.
Was he, though?
I'd say pop soul.
Yeah, I mean, well, also he was a spin-off singer in the Neighbours mould from a very successful TV show.
Yeah, well, again, like it's Whispering Grass is the theory.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, I should say to listeners, this is a good point that Tim's making about David Soul, who I think that was his real name. Was that his real name? Because if it's a stage name, it's not as amazing.
No, it's not as amazing. I don't know.
But
we can't ask him.
There's no possible way of finding out.
We will never know.
But one thing we did do, and this is where this came from, is I discovered that David Soul, not recently, but certainly not when he was on Starsky and Hutch, did a National Express advert in which he plays a National Express driver and he sings while he's driving to, I'm assuming, Rochdale or somewhere from Paddington, Victoria, actually, that's where they leave from. He sings Silver Lady in a pair of sunglasses. And we had quite a long conversation about what the fuck were they thinking about or what was he thinking about. And you convinced me, because you know about these sorts of things, I think. You spend a lot of time in meetings talking about brands and shit.
Right.
And you said National Express will have been thinking, what do we need to rejuvenate our brand from being a very, very dull thing that for people who can't afford the train use. And you suggested that what they'll be thinking is something Americana. They'll be thinking, like, you know, the wide open spaces of Highway 81, blah, blah, blah.
And they would have said, someone would have said, why don't people think romantic like us as they do about Greyhound buses?
Yes.
That's, I think, where it would have started.
And the way to do that is to get an American legend to drive one of our buses.
Or David Soul.
To drive one of our buses across, you know, the M1 or the A43 and somehow make it feel like you're going on a big journey in America. And I think you were right.
Yeah. So we talked about that.
I'm glad we've gone over that for the listeners.
Yeah. No, we talked about that.
Yeah. Well, the main thing you were concerned about, I don't know if you remember this, is, and I do urge listeners to go and look at this, is that David Soul's head was such that the top of his head was a normal shape and the bottom of his head was about four times the size. Which is true.
He had a back, overweight lower half of his head.
Yeah, which of course is where weight goes on the face. Very few people have a heavier top half of their head than bottom half. There's only really Eraser Head, possibly by David Lynch, and a Mekon. I don't know if you've seen a Mekon from
Mekon,
the...
Yeah,
they possibly do. But almost everyone else, including myself, has got a fatter, lower half.
Eraser Head, which I remember being quite disturbing when I never saw it. David Lynch?
Yes, David Lynch movie, yeah.
Is he... Does he have the power to rub things out with his head, or...
Oh, because of Eraser
Head. Yeah, what does that mean, Eraser Head?
Actually, I've been trying to convince my son to watch it recently, and he's been too frightened by the trailer, which is very disturbing.
Yeah.
He's got the top of his head, if you remember, is like a big brush. So in a way, he could have used it as an eraser, but I don't think he actually does, but maybe he does.
But...
Maybe you're getting a phone call from your daughter, which maybe you should take, because it's Ava, who's a sort of a... regular
Ava,
figure.
I'm just doing the podcast with David. You are live.
Hi.
Are you okay? All right, darling. See you in a bit.
That wasn't as interesting as for our listeners.
No, because I think Ava wants to go, and I don't blame her.
Yeah.
But she's going to call back. So I'll let you know in the next podcast if there's anything, you know, worth reporting. But Eraserhead makes him sound like a comical figure. And so when I was younger, I remember being disturbed by it, but sort of comforting myself that he was like...
I can't, having not watched it for years, I can't put my hand on my heart and say that there isn't a moment where the main character's head comes in contact with a chalkboard, with a blackboard, and rubs out some numbers.
Or he can rub out real life. See, that would be quite interesting.
Yeah, well, maybe he does do that as well.
Power, although I don't know what's behind the thing.
Yeah, what you're imagining him as is a superhero whose superpower is rubbing things out with his head.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was David Soul in that position, that would be all wrong, because he'd have to use his chin. And an eraser chin doesn't sound like much of a superhero.
It doesn't sound like much of a superhero, full stop. But if we sat here and we agreed, just accepted the fact that there are no superpowers in the world, which I think we do. Some people are good at things.
Okay.
For some reason, Tom Daly comes to my head as being good at diving. I don't know where
he's very good at diving.
It's not a superpower. He's very good at it.
No, okay. And people like to describe disabilities now as a superpower. That's quite a common thing.
So, but
to
equally,
say, my
not,
autism is a superpower.
Right, but they're not actually
superpowers. They're not actually in Marvel.
The person saying that is Superman, but he's still wrong because that's not the superpower. It's
no, although I see Superman as quite on the spectrum.
And also, what is
Batman
Superman's
is quite on the spectrum.
Is it strength?
Yeah, that's a good question. Superman, so what's ridiculous about Superman, which is why he's never, I think, one of the really big heroes in modern movies, even though there are Superman movies, but it's not like Batman or the Avengers or whatever, is he's too powerful. He's basically God. Right. He's invulnerable. He's incredibly strong. He also can fly at the speed of light.
Yes.
And his eye, he's got X-ray vision. Yeah. And I think he can shoot beams out of his hand. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous. Yes. There's too much power. Too many superpowers.
No, I think, but he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so we sit here and we remind ourselves there's no such thing. And then if I say to you, all that being said, this table we're sitting at, I can literally rub it out with my head.
Yeah.
You would go, DL, that is amazing. And then I did it.
Yeah.
And I think what I'd do if I
think what would be really amazing about that is that you are bald.
That's because I've been raising so many things.
What, your hair?
Eventually, it's the wear and tear.
Yeah, that doesn't happen to superheroes. Superman doesn't say, yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I can still lift stuff up, but my hand is really grazed. That never happens.
No, but he doesn't exist.
No, okay.
Whereas I have an eraser head.
Right.
And I think what I would do is, because I think it's a natural thing. I don't think it's just because I'm a showman, as you know.
Yeah.
Is I'd rub out a little bit of it and stop, and you go, what the hell's going on?
It would be
and
amazing. Then, I agree, it'd be amazing, but there'd be a problem with it
right.
as a superhero, because like, most superpowers are like useful socially in some way or other. Yeah. They save, or if you were a villain, they create terrible anarchy in the world. Being able to erase stuff with your head is something that I would always happen quite slowly. And not be that much use, either negatively or positively. I mean, I suppose negatively, if you just wanted people to lose shit, you might just, like, right, well, I want David to lose his phone. That'd be annoying. I'll rub it out with my head. Mm. But even that is fairly mundane.
No, I think, because don't forget, because I've been a razor head since I'm born, so I've had a lot more time than you. It's unfair
to think about it with
it's
your head.
It's unfair to ask you. But it's a huge force for good. You can.
What are you going to do? How are you going to save the world with that superpower?
Okay, so when I see a robber,
or
a burglar,
exactly,
I run up to them.
Yeah.
As long as they haven't shot me,
I
can literally rub them out.
Right. Okay. So it seems to me that like a cat, what you'd have to do then is like rub your head against them. I mean, I think straight away that they're going to punch you before that you get near them.
Do you know why? Well, I start with the fists. I always rub on the hands first.
Yeah. So, is your ability to erase stuff, does it also render people unable to fight back?
Yes. Well, only once, because I rub their legs.
I think that's not how it would work.
Okay.
I think someone, because they'll punch you in the face without their hands disappearing. Right. The only way their hands disappear is if you get your head down in time and actually do.
I like the action.
Yeah, I'm doing it now. Do the actual cat-like rubbing to get to stop so their hands disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, by the way, are they in terrible pain? Because or they're just like, oh my god, I don't know where they are.
No, it's that. It's almost like Doctor, like in those shows. Was it in Avengers when they start to flake away? They don't really feel it. They can see it.
Yeah.
But it's also very fluid. It's not like a rubber on a piece of A4. It's more like a whiteboard. It's very quick.
Oh,
the way
see.
It rubs.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So I can do that. So I can get rid of people.
Yeah.
I can rub away nuclear weapons. Example.
I think that'd be quite dangerous. I wouldn't want you to do that.
Well, I've done it.
Okay.
It's absolutely fine. And yes, I've lost my hair since doing it.
Yeah. You definitely radioactive point of view. Then
poison pen letters, if I intercept them,
okay,
can get rid of, cause untold damage. Documents.
Okay, I can see it now.
It goes on.
I can see it
the
now.
The list is even bigger than Morrissey's list of people he's met.
Okay, how do you think you first came across this superpower? You first realised that you had it?
I think it was in the when I was about three or four, I think.
Yeah.
And whether I don't know if something gave it to me.
Yeah. But I mean, but no one gave it to you. How did you realise? Well, you were at school.
Was it nursery?
You're
my mum came to pick me up.
Yeah.
And I was surrounded just by white, like nothing. And I'd rubbed away my friends and
Okay. See, what I was going to say was, you're at school, maybe you're 12.
Yes.
And your teacher is writing something on the blackboard, and they say, "Oh, I can't find the chalk thing, the eraser. Anyway, come here, Higgs." And just because they were quite unpleasant, they used your head. And then, God, that's amazing. He's really, God, I can't believe how good he is at that.
I think this is why we work so well together, because I will take that and say, that's actually the origin story, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the origin story.
I was bullied by a teacher,
and
that teacher maybe done something to my parents to make it more emotionally. But basically, they were horrible to me. And one day in class, in front of my friends and a girl I was fancying, they grabbed me and said, "I know how I'm going to get rid of this chalk, Hinks. You're fit for nothing but a duster." What did they call them?
I think they called them erasers.
No, it was a chalk on a board.
Chalk duster,
Chalk duster.
Okay.
You're just a chalk duster to me, that familiar phrase, and grabs me and whacks my, exactly what you say, on the board, and then that's when I get my powers. It's like in the film.
I sort of did just say all that.
No, but you made it sound like my head
isn't actual superpower. Yeah, there was an element of that. There was an element of me to say, you're mistaking a superpower for once being bullied by a teacher.
Right, and you know, Scorsese, whoever directors, can make that moment when my head hits the board would be like a sort of special effect.
You know, an incredible thing about this?
Yeah.
Incredible thing that I'm going to do now, which is to bring this all round together, which is, of course, there's a novelty song called Chalk Dust.
Is there?
Yeah, it's the John McEnroe novelty song. Yeah. I mean, actually, it might be called You Can't Be Serious, but no, I think it's called Chalk Dust. I'm going to look it up. Someone who wasn't actually John McEnroe, but he wore a headband and dressed like a tennis player, did a song in about 1982, which I think is called Chalk Dust, about what a sort of annoying character on the court.
Yes, I remember.
Hang on, there we go. Hang on, Chalk Dust pop song. Let's see if that appears.
Yeah,
the Chalk Dust, the umpire strikes back.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's called. And let me just play a bit of it. There's Simon Bates. Love. Yeah, I remember it being slightly rappy.
Yeah,
as well.
That's like late 80s.
I don't even know if it was late 80s. There he goes. Doesn't really look like John McEnroe.
Amazing, and he's just pretending to play tennis in front of the crowd.
Come on, where's the song?
Yeah.
Do the song. There still hasn't been any song. He's just pretending to play tennis in the Top Pop studio.
What? The ball was eight. You've got to be kidding!
Oh, sorry, I want to keep it going. I mean, we can cut some
of this. Is there a tune?
But I want to hear the actual song.
Oh, gee, man. Chalk dust!
There we go.
Everyone could see that there was
chalk dust. Everyone could see. So I'm just proud of myself for tying the whole thing together.
Yeah, no, and well, I want to tie the thing that you've tied together in a big, in a just one last piece of wrapping paper.
Right.
Because, of course...
What, like wrapping a little map?
Exactly. Because, of course, David Bowie had a novelty song, Laughing Gnome.
Laughing Gnome.
And I would say, if you listen to Chalk Dust, which we're probably never going to do again in our lives, there's no way that guy goes on and then does more. You know, you could just tell it's just sort of like a, not a cynical, but it's sort of a bunch of people put it together as an opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas I feel like listening to Laughing Gnome, you can tell there's something going on. But that might just be...
Well, that's a very good point, though. Is there any other example of a novelty song by an artist who then went on to do incredible stuff? I mean, arguably, the Beatles did loads of novelty songs.
Yes.
But I don't think there's a novelty song like The Laughing Gnome. Yellow Submarine's kind of a...
Yeah, but that's way later.
And most of the novelty songs are later when they're just pissing about.
Yeah. I mean, they did... The first single they were on as the Beatles was My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean.
But that's not a novelty
song. No, but I was going to say, it's not. It's often seen... Like, it's obviously not the Beatles, because it's like a weirder... But it's not novelty, but I'd be surprised if... Yeah, I bet... I mean,
I don't. Is there anyone else?
That's an interesting point.
What is the Laughing Gnome? We've discussed this before, but like, what led him to do the Laughing Gnome? Is that Tony Yule?
It's Right Said Fred. I mean, I would hardly say they went on to. What? Didn't they first do?
Are you suggesting they went on to be a great artist?
No. But they went on to have hits that weren't novelty songs.
Not really. No, I mean, they did Too Sexy for My Shirt.
Didn't they do?
And then they did Deeply Dippy. I don't know if that's a novelty song.
I'll definitely withdraw that.
Yeah. They never went on to write a great... Oh, I'll tell you who might be considered that is Sparks. Is this town ain't big enough for the both of us? A novelty song?
I know what you mean, but I think it's more like Queen operatic.
Yes, that's true. Fat Bottom Girls is kind of a novelty song, but again, that's later on.
Led Zeppelin, The Squiggly Wiggly Man.
Oh, is that a...
No.
Okay.
No, I'm trying to think of the most unlikely.
Okay. No, I was utterly prepared to believe that was a Led Zepp.
Squiggly wiggly.
I could sort of see Jimmy Page thinking that's funny.
Yeah, doing a sort of weird guitar solo on it. Yeah.
No, I don't... That's a really good point. Yeah. I think, listeners, you can write in to wherever you write in. We don't even know where that is. Well, underneath my Twitter feed.
Yes, underneath
my Twitter feed. And say... Any great artist who began
started
releasing one halfway through.
No,
their,
lots of them do that.
Well, that's not the same thing. No. And I think you are right, although it's very hard to know if you're not retro engineering, that when you listen to the Laughing Gnome, you can tell, like, well, this is really annoying and idiotic, but I think there's something there.
But in answer to your question,
which there isn't in Chalk Dust.
No, it definitely isn't Chalk Dust because there's not even a tune.
And not in Whispering Grass either. No. I mean, there's a lovely voice.
I think Laughing Gnome, I'm sure I've read about it, forgotten, but obviously there's a tone, definitely Anthony Newley type thing going on there. Definitely that thing of slightly smoking pot, as they would have called it, a bit giggly.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, I think there was the Tommy Steele Little White Bull. So there's sort of, I think he did it as a slightly silly kiddie song.
And Tony Newley was sort of like a novelty singer.
Definitely, So
but,
I
think also the novelty song as it came to be understood in Chalk Dust, I mean, we're talking about how these don't exist anymore. Oh, what about Snooker Loopy?
Remind me?
Chas and Dave.
Okay, was that their first?
No, it wasn't their first.
No.
In fact, they're halfway between a novelty band. And I actually really like some of their songs.
Yeah.
I really like There's No Pleasing
That's
You.
That's a beautiful song.
Yeah, so... Yeah. And I remember Tracy McLeod, your friend of mine's been on this podcast describing them as the English Proclaimers, which I think is a bit strong because the Proclaimers are fucking brilliant.
Yeah, but I do get that.
But yes, so possibly they're...
The Wurzels.
No, the Wurzels never went on to do a great, for example, concept album.
No.
What's their Dark Side of the Moon? or indeed their Diamond Dogs, to be a more obvious example.
Yeah, I think that's...
That's
right.
The point, is that the person who did Laughing Gnome... No, but I think Chaz and Dave aren't just a novelty band.
No, I agree with that.
The person who did Laughing Gnome went on to do Diamond Dogs. They went on to do Low. So, yeah, we're looking at the Wurzels not doing albums like that.
If by the way, even though we know
Wouldn't it be amazing? It's amazing when you think about it. If the bloke from the Wurzels, having done I've Got a Brand New Combine Harvester, and I'll Give You the Key, it's done really well, and then he's gone in. I can't do the voice, obviously. I can't do a West Country accent. I'd like to do it.
Okay.
But he's gone to see the record company head, and he said, look, can you do it? Because I can't do
Hello there, hello there, David.
Yeah. We've done that.
Am I just saying what you're doing?
Yeah.
We've done that.
I'm hoping you're just going to go with it. Okay, I'll explain it to you, and you can play it.
I can do a passable West Country, but you're making it sound like it's really good that you're feeding the lines of it.
Because I can't do the accent, you're going to have to play the guy from the Wurzels. You're coming in and you're saying, we've done that, and he's said, the worker says, brilliant, can you do another one like that? And he's saying, no, actually, what I want to do next is, and then what you have to do then is imagine, is ad-lib some really complicated, serious work of art.
Right.
Okay, so we try it.
Yeah.
Okay, knock, knock, knock.
Hello, David.
Oh, hello, Keith Wurzel. Lovely to see you. I'm so pleased with the success.
I've parked my combine harvester out the back. Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, no, that's funny.
I'm only joking.
That's funny that you've done that. And also great, because the brand of you being a silly farmer-like man who's got a combine harvester, keep that going. Yeah. We love that here at Polydor.
And of course, I just remembered, is this West Country?
It's good,
That you've really enjoyed I Am a Cider Drinker.
Oh, I love I'm a Cider.
A follow-up.
That's brilliant. I'm a Cider Drinker, Cider, Combine Harvesters, and also your silly clothes. And also, I think one of you actually chews on a big load of straw in the background whenever you do your accordion stuff. You know what we might do for
Tarquin.
The next one? Because you might have some Morris dancers behind you.
Well,
what about
it's
that?
Funny you talk about that.
Yeah.
As I go slightly Norfolk.
That's all right.
We were thinking about a bit of a departure.
Oh, really? What? Kind of maybe having some wenches or, I don't know, some animals with you on the next one. Sheep.
Now, have you listened to 2112? Is it out yet?
By Rush.
Is it out yet? I can't remember.
Okay, interesting choice. Thought you were going to go Bowie, but no, you've gone for Rush. That very, very long, complicated, heavy metal progressive rock album by Canadian band Rush. I've heard that album.
Furthermore, are you familiar with the work of Emerson, Lake and Palmer?
Yes, oh God, yes. All right. You mean Brain Salad Surgery? and their version of Fanfare for the Common Man. Marvellous. Marvellous.
Can I suggest a line?
Yes.
I think what you said is, but what's all this got to do with Wurzels?
Okay. Sorry, I was just,
good line.
I was just enjoying showing off that I know all these bands. But let's just put them to one side for a minute. Let's talk about what the Wurzels are going to do now. What's that got to do with? Because I think probably you're going to come up with something very, very West Country and funny and involving boots with a straw in them.
We want to do a conception album.
Okay. About, is the concept farming?
The concept, tangentially... The concept is farming's got out of control with the use of pesticides
right.
and other sprays and hormones
right.
and created a master race of alien peopleoids.
Peopleoids? What the fuck is that? What kind of word is that?
Who
is
have
that
come,
some kind of seed?
Who have created a superpower based on the hum of the earth. And we want to do it over three albums.
Yeah.
Called,
what are you calling it? It's a triple album.
It's triple album.
Gatefold sleeve.
Yes.
do you know that? Do you know that? I don't mean like a gate like in the country with like a sign on it.
That's
saying,
our one concession. It can look like a gate. Yeah. It's called Animal Farm.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you stuck with a bit of the farming.
Yeah.
I'm glad you stuck with a little bit. Okay, so I'm worried this might be a bit alienating to your fans.
Shall I give you the first line or two?
Yes.
I think this will change your mind.
Okay.
And in the death. As the last few corpses.
Right.
That's how it would go.
Yeah, we should stop it there.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.